Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Elizabeth Dutton.
Zarin Burnett.
I got a question for you, girl.
Always. You always have a question.
I do.
I always have answers.
Yeah, I got a pocket full of questions and a pocket full of waiting for your answer.
Oh, hey.
So here's my question. Yeah. You know what's ridiculous?
I do.
What?
Did you know that the Super Bowl, 4-2 Blue, the Super Bowl,
yes,
is apparently the biggest chicken wing consumption day of the year?
I would guess that, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
It may make sense.
It's like that and like Halloween.
And I'm sure pizza probably also ranks pretty high.
Don't you give kids Halloween
chicken wings?
Chicken wings?
Yeah, you get a bowl of chicken wings for all the kids
who
come by.
You don't do that?
No, I give out handy wipes.
Oh, see, that's what
I live down the street from a lot of you guys.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's ridiculous.
That's not.
Super Bowl,
yes.
4-2 Blue. That's the that's what you have to yell when you talk about football.
You watch a lot of football, don't you?
Oh my
you?
God, so much. You have no idea. So really, you have no idea. So the biggest wing consumption day of the year, right?
Yes.
And like, would you call chicken wings craveable?
Oh my God.
No, I'm just asking because like,
I would not. No,
I'm not a fan of that word.
No, I don't think that's actually a word.
Because, like, there's the craveable flavor of ranch and
craveable
buffalo wings.
Now you're using it.
Yeah, but, like, what do you know, we think of, like, ranch and buffalo wings and, like, our faces getting greasy, or lips in particular getting greasy.
Sure, sure. Why not?
Do you know what else makes your lips greasy?
Producer Dave, please make her stop. She's doing it to me again. It's a mashup, isn't it, Elizabeth?
Engine
Burt's
grease?
Burt's Bees lip gloss.
Did you just say Burt's Bees
lip
gloss?
Or lip balm, I should say.
Lip balm? Okay, well, whatever. My lip rub?
Uh-huh. So,
and chicken wings.
We have us a mashup.
I have a chicken wing grease lip rub.
Well, yeah, okay. So Burt's Bees got together with Hidden Valley Ranch.
Oh, my God.
Which is a frequent flyer
Don't
in this.
Those people have ranch to make?
The ranch folks and the Cheetos folks need to just sit down for a little bit.
They take every
Calm
call.
Down.
They're like, hello.
They will do. They're like Shaq in a commercial.
Yeah, no, we're free. Uh-huh.
I will totally do it. Okay, so
Shaq.
They have four flavors.
Yes.
Hidden Valley Ranch.
Uh-huh.
Ranch Lip Balm.
Uh-huh.
Crunchy Celery.
Uh-huh.
Fresh Carrot.
How long is this list?
And then Buffalo Sauce.
Oh, my God.
I told you it was four. Listen to what I say. So anyway,
yes,
it came out. It was released on January 17th.
Okay.
And you could use like a code to get free shipping. It was a pack was like $12.
This is for the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're all getting ready and fired up. I am.
Oh, of course.
I will not change my underwear for 4 months before the Super Bowl for good luck. Because I love football so
for
much.
For your or for your team's luck?
For Du Blue. So anyway,
yes.
This all kicked off because in 2022, Hidden Valley Ranch did like a April Fool's social media thing saying that they were going to make lip balm. And then people are like, I love it. Do it.
Do their executives do like acid at the retreats?
Yes.
They just have corporate retreats.
Yes.
They're like, okay, we're going to do mushrooms. And everyone come up with a mashup you want to see.
So January 17th,
yes,
it comes out. January 18th,
uh-huh,
sold out.
How many did they make?
I don't know, four. No, barely, they didn't say how many they made.
Sure,
but
a lot of people love
these
things.
And they were all like, really, wow, this one sold out fast.
But does anyone ever use them?
No, I think this is the kind of garbage that you give to someone, like, and then it like sits in a drawer or it's on a bookshelf.
Turns into like a birthday gift.
And then it's like you're cleaning your house because you've realized your life is like just a disaster.
I need to straighten things up.
Yeah, and then off it goes. So there.
Are you talking, confessing a little bit here, Elizabeth?
Maybe.
Well, you got a second? Because I got something that's also ridiculous.
Yes, I've taken all the seconds on that one.
Okay, because you know what is also ridiculous other than your Burt's Bees lip balm?
42 Blue.
Wedding day?
Oh.
No, this is what you're supposed to say. But Zarin, I'm not married. And then I say, no, not your wedding day, your wedding day. Like as in just anybody's wedding
your
day.
Your wedding.
Like it's supposed to be this special day, right?
A wedding day.
Yeah, any wedding day.
One's wedding day.
One of the most
magical. Yeah, let's take it out of the second person and put it into the third. One's
no,
wedding.
Listen as if I'm speaking to everybody. You, your wedding day.
People of Earth.
People of Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. Okay, it's supposed to be this special day, right?
Yeah,
one of the most magical, loving days of your life.
Yeah, sure.
Now, Elizabeth, imagine if you tried to use that day to pull a fast one or to finesse a mark or maybe to fleece a fool. Maybe, how about long con some gullible normies? Or better yet, how about this one? You use your wedding day to steal someone else's entire home.
Oh, my God. You know what that would be? Ridiculous.
This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous.
Way.
First up, Elizabeth.
42 Blue.
I want to do a little housekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those who don't know, Elizabeth runs an imaginary strip club where the strippers wear clothing and just lie around on couches, not really dancing or really doing anything.
Hey, in like cozy clothes.
So how? Yeah,
sloths.
How are things at sloths?
Know, it's going so well.
How's business post-pandemic? Like, how are the ladies?
Oh, perfect. We don't let anyone in.
Anything new going on in caftans for 2024? Anything in muumuus or
snuggies?
Non-activewear I need to know about?
No, a lot of down comforters this time of year.
Well, I like to check in from time to time with you.
We have great
guys.
Social distancing rules.
Yeah, what is it?
It's 20 feet.
20 feet, yeah.
It's like from each other, from the public, avert your eyes.
Big space bubbles. What do you have a term for that? Yeah. Now, I know your business is purely fictional, but I do like to hear how it's going.
Thank you.
I like to hear how the market's treating you. I'm just a good American like that.
I know you are.
Elizabeth, it's an election year, all right? And I don't
want to. Is this a mashup?
I don't want to talk about that.
No, like, I do really do
like
not
at all.
Want to.
So instead, today I want to tell you about people who are stealing from weddings.
That's a mashup. A wedding.
Like how
is a
I took
mashup.
A hard left turn. You're like, you don't know where this is going.
So lost, but okay.
Well, okay, we're gonna talk about weddings, people who steal from weddings, people who use weddings to steal from people. We got both cons in today. Now, Joseph Davis, that's our guy, right?
Okay.
Do you know him?
Not personally.
Do you know where law enforcement might be able to find him?
No.
Because he is not a good groom. He needs to be stopped before he strikes again, Elizabeth. This dude, Joe Davis, he was planning to be a bigamist. He wasn't there yet. He was planning. He was on his way. He didn't quite get there.
Aspirations.
But there were two women who both thought they were his fiance.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So the 48-year-old, right? He's sharking around on the dating site, OKCupid. This is like back in...
Cupid?
OKCupid.
OKCubist?
OKCubist, yes. It's an art site. You got to be a little sideways. Anyway.
OKCubist is such a good idea.
For a dating site?
Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so 2015 is when they met on OKCupid. Mm-hmm. And that's when he met the first woman to whom he proclaimed his love, right? He tells this woman, hey, man, my name is Joe Brown. Nice to meet you, baby. The next year, he's back on OKCupid. That's when he meets woman number two. He tells her, hey, baby, nice to meet you. My name is Marcus Brown.
Oh, he has a new name.
He got two names, right?
Interesting.
So he was on it. You know, he was smart. He was like, I need two names, two women, two names, but both of them will be Mr. Brown. So that way in public, if somebody says Mr. Brown, I can turn.
Oh, I see. Okay.
He's like a Tarantino movie. Mr. Brown, that's it. So this dude, not Judge Joe, but Joe Brown, please call me Mr. Marcus. He romances these two women, right? And at the same time, for years.
Years.
For years. Because we're up to 2021 when this story hits.
Uh-huh.
So at one point, though,
What year did he start?
2015 for number one and 2016 for number two.
Oof.
He strung them both along for 5 and 6 years.
Yeah, so he just like laid the groundwork with the first one when he felt like she could, this could go on autopilot. Then he went to the next.
He's apparently a fast mover and a slow mover at the same time. So at one point, the dude, he takes girlfriend number two to girlfriend number one's house. She's not home, of course, right? That would be weird, Elizabeth.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Let's establish the girlfriends don't know about each other.
No, they do not know about each other.
I mean, because I don't know how some people learn.
Oh, no, some people roll that like that. But anyway, she's at work.
Mm-hmm.
And so he takes girlfriend number two around the house, gives her a tour of the home. And get this, he tells her it's his house. Or no, it's about to be his house, right? And she's like, oh, baby, this is great. Now, I bet you can start to hear the Dateline music start to play in your head. What do you mean, about to be his house,
oh,
right?
Oh, God, yeah.
But I promise you the story's not going to turn dark and bloody. You know, this is, we're keeping this one in 99% murder
free.
Yeah,
no
right?
dead
Don't
ladies,
worry.
No dead ladies.
So let me just tell you, nothing bad happens to girlfriend number two and number one in that way.
Yeah, but he's still a sicko.
Exactly. They still got Joe Marcus in their
parading
life.
Parading her around the other woman's house.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
So back to Joe, I'm sorry, did you say Marcus Brown? After he showed girlfriend number two the home of girlfriend number one, he told her it was his house. He's like, you know, we're about to be his house. He goes bigger. He's like, you know, you should move in with me, baby.
Stop it.
Yeah. She's like, for real? Because I'm going to go home and pack up all my stuff, right? And he's like, oh, for real, you need to come. And she's like, okay. And so she goes home and she packs up all of her stuff. She disassembles her furniture. She gives notice on her place.
Oh my God.
She's out there. She schedules moving day. She's out there on moving day waiting for the truck to show up. Elizabeth, the truck never showed up.
Oh.
Day of the move, Marcus called her and tells her, baby, baby, I got bad news. The deal fell through on the house. And she's like, what do you mean fell through? What deal? I thought it was your home. And so somehow she skips past this. And if you can believe it, despite that little hiccup in their love story, she stayed with her man.
Honey.
She loved Marcus Elizabeth.
No.
They've been together since 2016.
No.
And we're in 2021. That's 5 solid years.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, girlfriend number one, she'd been with her man, Joe, since 2015, of course, right? She knows nothing about the proposed move-in of girlfriend number two. They, you know, like I said, they weren't kinky like that.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't into polyamory, nothing mm-hmm. like that. She was just living her best life with her man, Joe. Now, one day she gets this itch, though, this nagging little voice that tells her that Joe may be playing around.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know why, but she got the idea.
You gotta listen when
But she didn't have any proof, right? So she's like you. So what do you think she does? She's like, oh, I can't come at him with no evidence. So she hops on Facebook.
I don't get on Facebook, but I will find the information.
That's what I mean.
She's
she
a
was
special
like
investigator.
An internet special investigator, right? Yep. One of your people, Elizabeth.
Yes.
And I don't know, after like 17 minutes of Facebook sleuthing, she finds her evidence. And what do you think that evidence was?
His Facebook page.
Just everything on the post.
To find.
So she saw a photo of girlfriend number two.
Okay.
And girlfriend number two was wearing an engagement ring and a wedding band that looked nearly identical to her own.
And a wedding band?
Yeah.
Wait, that looked
Yeah.
Did he give her a wedding
band? Okay. I don't know. She was wearing two rings. In fact, nope, it was her engagement ring and her wedding band.
Oh, so he was engaged to number one.
No, you're about to find out.
Oh, I'm so lost.
So,
okay.
Yes, he was engaged to number one.
Okay.
And engaged to number two.
Uh-huh.
The ring that he'd given to number two was a ring that number one had from her previous marriage, thus the wedding band.
Messy.
So he'd stolen her ring and used it to propose to girlfriend number two. Wedding band and all. He's like, whatever, here's two rings. You like that? It's better than one. So girlfriend number one, she runs, checks her jewelry box. Indeed, the ring is missing. It is her ring. So she now has proof, right? So her man, Joe Brown, has given it to girlfriend number two. So what is she going to do with the evidence? Is she going to go to him? No, she's smart. She doesn't go directly to old good-for-nothing Joe. She also doesn't go all full reality TV star. She handles it things like a human being and like an adult, Elizabeth. She plans to get revenge, right? She goes, she contacts girlfriend number two on Facebook. She calmly explains the situation to girlfriend
nice.
Number two that
Very
the engagement
well
ring and the wedding band on her finger belong to her.
Mm-hmm.
And so then also, by the way, the man that she is engaged to is also engaged to her. Therefore, they are both engaged to the worthless, lying, trifling, no good bum that would steal a wedding ring.
Yeah.
She's like, that is bad news to hear. Right? Girlfriend number two listens. Like I said, she's like, you mean, so you're telling me Marcus is engaged to you? She's like, no, Joe. And they eventually figured out Joe is Marcus, Marcus is Joe. And they got everything all sorted out and they confirm they are indeed both engaged to marry this same guy.
Jarkus.
Jarkus. Now, girlfriend number one, she tells girlfriend number two, you should probably go check your stuff. Make sure he hasn't stolen any of your stuff.
And yeah, she's like, number three.
That's a good point. So she runs, she checks her stuff, and good old good-for-nothing Joe had indeed robbed from her, too.
Oh, no.
So then girlfriend number 2, ask girlfriend number 1, do you live in Orange City? And then she says the address of the house that Marcus took her to. And she's like, yeah, that's my house. And girlfriend 2 is like, I knew it. I knew that low-down lazy ass had taken me to some... He had the nerve to take me to someone else's house. So they go back and forth. Now, you're looking at me a little strange.
Yeah.
You hear Orange City, and you may be wondering, Zarin, did this happen in Florida?
Pablo, honey.
Now, I'm bummed to say... Yes, indeed, Elizabeth. Florida gonna Florida, right? So anyway, equally incensed, these two scorned women, they're about to drop their wrath. And so they decide, let's team up on them. So they get their revenge together. They go to the cops. They tell the cops all about Joe Marcus Brown, his sticky fingers, his free loving ways. One of the fiancés, she recalls his address. And she's like, wait, I think he told me his cousin's address. Or no, it was his niece, right? So then the cops are going to tell us the address. They contact the people who live at the address. They find his sister. Oh. His sister's like, and they have local cops show a picture. Like, do you know this man? She's like, oh, yeah, that's my brother, Joe Louis Davis. And they're like, Joe Louis Davis.
Oh, okay.
So now they have his real name. Other than that, the sister was of no help. She's like, I don't know
but
where he is.
She gives his full name. Yes, yeah. Joe Louis Davis.
But no other meaningful assistance, right? So okay. The cops are like, okay, what are we going to do? But they have his real identity. So now the Volusia County Police and Sheriff's Department, they put on an alert for this suspect. And they check law enforcement databases. They discover Joe Louis Davis, quote, had a record as a convicted felon out of Oregon and North Carolina and has an active arrest warrant out of Oregon for a hit-and-run crash with injuries.
Oh, God.
Not only that, he also had prior arrests for cocaine possession, filing a false police report, and possession of a fictitious ID.
Oh, lock him up.
All-around class act, right? But this is my favorite part. From a booking in 2014, the intake officer at the men's holding, they noted that Joe Louis Davis had a notable tattoo because, you know, they take down your tattoos
sure,
for identification.
Yeah.
On his forearm was a big cross and the words, only God can judge me.
Oh, boy.
Now, I can find no records that Joe Louis Davis has ever been caught or convicted.
Oh, no.
Perhaps with his penchant for fake IDs, he's still out there somewhere on the run, still the subject of God's judgment, ignoring the legal opinions of us mere mortals.
Only God can judge him. And God's judging right now.
Yeah, judging hard.
Judging hard.
By the way, you need that tattoo.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, so let's take a little break. And after these messages, I'll tell you about the couple that stole a dream home for their dream wedding.
Aww.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Springtime is all about fresh air and fresh starts. And it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security. It's the only home security system I use and recommend. Here's why I love it. With the days getting longer and the weather warming up, we're out and about a lot more. And that applies to criminals, too. I don't have to worry because SimpliSafe blankets my whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. And there are indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over my property day and night. It's not just cameras. SimpliSafe has professional monitoring agents who keep watch on your home when you aren't there. Agents can stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera, warning them that they're being recorded and the police are on their way. Sounds great, right? There's no contract, and they offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. So trying SimpliSafe is risk-free. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. That's simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Elizabeth.
Saren.
What do you know about the International House of Pancakes?
International House of Pancakes. They serve pancakes.
Can we talk about IHOP for a moment?
Yeah, don't they go by IHOP now?
Yes, that's they changed their name. Like all the good
yeah,
things.
I've been there.
Okay.
I like a good pancake.
You do, right?
Yeah, sure.
Well, much like me, as a kid, I'm sure you did dream of going there.
Well, I don't know if I dreamt of it.
Did you ever con family members into taking you there?
No, they have all the different flavors of syrup, right?
Yes. Strawberry, blueberry, butter pecan,
fruity,
and maple.
Or is that somewhere else?
Oh, girl, have I got good news for you.
Okay.
The Rooty Tooty Fresh and Fruity is back.
Stop it.
Yes.
I don't even know what it is, but I love it.
I got even more good news. For just $7, you can enjoy two fluffy buttermilk pancakes. I know you like those.
I do.
And you can also get your choice of not one, not two, not three, but four fruity toppings, thus the Rooty and the Tooty. You also get two eggs your way, along with two strips of bacon. Crispy just the way you like it, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Sausage links if you're leaning that way.
No. I kind of want to have breakfast for dinner now.
Yeah, right?
I do love breakfast.
I'm just putting ideas in your head.
Yeah, I like it.
But like, you know, the whole idea of like pancakes from around the world. I mean, yes, they had French toast and like they had the Belgian waffles. But you know, like IHOP, they had Swedish pancakes and German blintzes. Do you remember this?
Not really.
Okay, well, they don't have that anymore. No, taste change, Elizabeth. Carbs, you know, whatever. Things.
Yeah.
So people now, they have Mexican tres leches pancakes.
Oh, interesting.
They have Cinestack pancakes.
Where's that from?
I don't know. Double blueberry Cinestan. cupcake pancakes.
Cupcake pancakes?
Yeah, like with little sprinkles and stuff. Oh, yeah. And New York cheesecake pancakes.
Ew.
If you're into the whole fitness thing, they also have strawberry banana protein pancakes.
Dude, if you're into the whole fitness thing, you are not having breakfast at IHOP.
Well, they also have, if you're like me or a six-year-old, they also have chocolate chip pancakes.
Yeah, wait, so, chocolate chip.
Yes, it's chocolate
excessive.
Pancakes with chocolate chip. Not the old chocolate chip pancakes.
It all has to be excessive.
Well, I will go there with or without you, Elizabeth.
All right. Maybe we can have it catered into the studio.
Now, I just want to let you know, like, no one paid me to say any of this. I'm just a Rooty Tooty Fresh and Fruity kind of guy.
Yeah, you kind of are.
I'm pro pancake.
You're a little bit Rooty Tooty.
I want people to be happy, and that's what IHOP is.
Yeah, waffles. Waffles are good, too.
Did you know you can get IHOP syrup delivered to your home?
Let's call them up right now.
By the gallon.
People, but what?
No, that was on Reddit. This guy bought a gallon. But you can get 24-ounce containers delivered to your home.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. My point, Elizabeth, is IHOP. You got to love it.
My point is now I want pancakes.
I do actually have a point about this whole IHOP thing. It's IHOP heirs. Like
IHOP
the heirs to IHOP money and fortunes.
Oh, I thought it was like Air Jordans or something.
No, like rich kids who are adults, but they act like kids because they have IHOP bucks.
Okay, the scions of
Scions
IHOP.
Of wealth, yes. There you go. One of them lives in, you guessed it, Florida.
Florida.
His name? Nathan Finkel.
Nathan Finkel.
Yes. This story also takes place in 2021, not related to the previous Florida story. It's just a hot year for marriages.
You know, what's interesting is that for Thursday's episode, I too am doing a compendium, and I too have things that took place in the same year, but no connection.
Wow.
We're always on this weird wavelength.
I know. You
stuff.
Vibe with me. I vibe
we
with you.
Totally vibe.
So this cat, his name, Nathan Finkel, right? Yeah. Man, does he have a nice home, all right? This property that he lives in or owned at the time, 16,000 square feet.
Wow, that's huge.
Compound. Had a grand ballroom, but not just that. Had a dance studio.
He's all, and 5, 6, 7, 8.
It had a movie theater.
Oh, wow.
It had a 2-lane bowling alley. Oh, God. It had a 2-story gentleman's bar.
Gentleman's
bar, like with
like
lots
a sloth,
of wood. Yeah,
basically.
Exactly, but more wood. It had an elevator because why not?
Yeah, also, of course.
Lighted tennis court if you're into that, like nighttime tennis.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Nighttime tennis, anyone? There's also a huge pool and hot tub because you got to have a huge pool and hot tub.
Of course.
Long rolling lawns, gardens everywhere. You would have loved it, right? Little ponds with scenic walkways.
Uh-huh.
And get this, there was also like an entrance trail that leads to the house, super long entrance trail. The home boasts all these stained glass windows. You would love it.
Whoa. would I?
2019, the home was listed for sale for $5.7 million. Just a steal. Nowadays, I think that same house is a few years later, post-pandemic, would be, I think, $10 trillion. I think is I didn't look it up, but I think that's how much
five
it is.
Mil, I don't know. It won't get you that in California.
You get a three-bedroom home like in Encino.
You get a cute little bungalow.
Exactly. So this dude, Nathan, he buys this mansion with his father's millions because his father made all of his money as an early-in franchisee with IHOP.
Oh.
Yeah. Now do you see what International Pancakes can do for you?
I guess. I mean, here we're cracking up about the home price, and I'm laughing in home rentership.
Yes, both of us. Yeah. Now, anyway, one day, this guy, he dropped by the Finkel Mansion, right? And he was there to attend an open house because the house was being listed for sale, right?
Okay.
So he's having this open house, having people come through and say, oh, do you want to look at my two-story gentleman bar? This could be yours.
Right.
Right? And then he acted, this guy who stopped by on the house, he acted like a prospective buyer. He takes a tour of the home, the surrounding grounds. Whatever he saw, it just stuck with him because he decides, I want to get married here, right? So a few months later, he phones the family. He's like, Finkels, hi. I came by the house a couple months back. I was wondering, would you mind if like 150 or so of my friends and family used your mansion for a weekend wedding? What do you say, huh?
Oh, my God. Well, and, I mean, there are people who rent their homes out.
Totally.
Kind of
a lot
stuff.
Of them, right? Yeah. Especially out here in California where they can't afford their homes. So they're like, help us afford the home. So anyway, Finkel reportedly listened to the man's wedding plans. He's like, oh, you want to use the house? Okay. And how many? 150 people. And he's like, absolutely not. No,
yeah,
don't
yeah,
ever come near
no.
here again. No, don't call me. Right. So the groom, though, Elizabeth, undaunted, he's like, this is just a mere stumbling block, a speed bump, if you will, on the road of my dreams. A dream had been born that day, Elizabeth, when he took that tour. He had to take his wedding there.
Yeah, yeah.
He could be anything else would be unsatisfactory, right?
Right?
I mean, you got to see this place. Look at this place. Wouldn't you want to get married here? If you were into unchecked opulence and gagging displays of wealth, how would you describe this home? It's just, it looks like something somebody...
It's like if a McMansion was like tumorous and then just kept expanding and expanding.
Look at all these carbuncles. What is this?
What in the what now?
Stained glass. Like just, it's huge, right?
Yeah,
it looks like
it
a dream
is.
Home.
It's unnecessary.
It looks like something...
Because here's the thing, how many people are living in this house?
I don't know.
Time?
I think there's only a...
Like a family of
a
four,
a family,
probably.
Yeah, exactly.
And this, you think of all the people that could be housed in this complex. It's like the size of a hotel. This is such waste. This is why I can't have nice things.
That home right there. You just need to start,
because
you know,
this is so,
an IHOP franchise.
This is so ostentatious and it's just wasteful. My
yes.
God.
Insane, right? But
because think about the heating, like the HVAC for that or the lights. The water bill.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
You know,
it's Florida. It's muggy. So you're running air conditioning 24/7
exactly.
sometimes.
And you've got the pool.
Uh-huh.
And think of all the maintenance people. Like, they're not cleaning their own house. They have housekeeping. So
true.
While they are, supporting the economy, I suppose. God, the cost of that. No wonder he's moving.
Well, cut to April 17th, 2021.
Okay, I'm there.
The bride and groom have opted for an early afternoon wedding. They've selected 3:30 p.m. as the time for their wedding. The invitations they send out tell their guests to please join them at the Wilson's Estate, which is the name of the groom, and soon to be the bride. They casually refer to this as their home, right? So as it reads, it is, quote, "It is our honor to welcome you into our dream home and estate, to share this special occasion with us. We are excited to celebrate our wedding night with you and look forward to a wonderful evening of celebration, exquisite feast, and dancing at our royal extravaganza."
Well, it sounds like total royal medieval, celebrate our wedding night with you. Like, whoa, well, hello.
Prima nocta, back up here.
I'm there for the ceremony, the reception, and then I am out.
Yeah. Which one of us is the lord of this land? So the wedding invitation, Elizabeth, they promised that following the ceremony, guests would be ushered inside for, quote, a red carpet cocktail hour, whatever that is.
Well, and think about it, if you know this person, if a friend of mine gave me this invitation this and said at our home,
yes.
I'd be like, who are you fooling? I don't know anyone who lives in a house like that. Like, what?
Did
when did this happen?
Did you secret Elizabeth win the lottery and didn't tell me? So this, by the way, after the red carpet cocktail hour, that would be followed by a reception proper. And the party would keep on rocking until 2:30 in the morning.
Oh.
So don't come a knocking. But that wasn't the end of the party. No, sir. Because guests were invited back to the Wilson's estate the next day for, quote, a wonderful Sunday brunch that would feature, and I quote, delicacies from our renowned chef on our resort-style pool while being entertained by the sounds of a live jazz band. The reason why...
No one's like, how did you get all this?
You guys can afford a jazz band? So the reason why the soon-to-be Wilsons were going out all out on their big day was that they wanted to mark the specialness of their love story. You see, Elizabeth, the soon-to-be newlyweds, they met back in high school. They were in the same graduating class. Both were jocks. She was, quote, very focused on pursuing her dreams of a college scholarship. And he was a football player and something of a bad boy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, their roads diverged in the woods. And over time, these two crazy kids, they drift apart. They lose track and sight of each other. However, fate stepped in, played a hand. And 30 years later, they're now in their late 40s. Somehow, some way, they found each other again. Serendipity, Elizabeth. They called it, quote, the Lord's plan. Now, to bring the soon-to-be newlyweds back together, to quote the couple, nevertheless, as fate would have it, we were divinely reconnected after 30 years. I had just ended a 5-year relationship, and he, a 20-year marriage. Now, God truly works in mysterious ways, Elizabeth.
He's out
wouldn't
here
you say?
Judging. No. He's out here finagling relationships. It's remarkable.
It's amazing. And then there's a little thing called a pandemic that offered up a speed bump to their relationship and God's plans, but it didn't prevent their love from growing and deepening. Finally, on Christmas Eve 2020, he proposed to her. As she recalled in the wedding invitation, he took me and the children out riding to see Christmas lights when we stopped for pizza at Al Capone's on Hollywood Beach.
Stop. That's in the invitation?
Yes, but it gets better, Elizabeth. She goes on to say, he asked me to take a photo with him while he was secretly planning to propose in the snapshot. What a magical moment. You're there in the Al Capone's pizza place in Hollywood Beach, Florida.
I want to cry. It's so good.
But that wasn't all.
It's so wonderful.
God had more in store for them, Elizabeth.
It's not even just that he proposed in the Al Capone's pizza in Hollywood, Florida, but she puts the story in the wedding invitation.
Oh, yeah. But that's not all.
Oh, my God.
There's more going down in the Al Capone's pizza in Hollywood Beach.
Please tell me. I need more.
Because there in the Al Capone's pizza place in Hollywood Beach, Florida, God spoke to them. You see, according to the couple, that was the moment when, quote, the Lord had revealed to me the purpose of our encounter and answer to my prayer. All that was left to do now was for the couple to get married. So when he asked him, Finkel had said no. They couldn't use his mansion as a backdrop for their sainted love affair.
He's like, even if I have the event catered by Al Capone's Pizza and I'll let you be there.
Like,
nope.
Like, Al Capone, are you sure? Have you tried in Hollywood Beach? But that cat Finkel, he didn't understand. Like the Blues Brothers, this couple was on a mission from God. And they were going to get married at this mansion whether he liked it or
that
not.
That is certainly... God, and like, it is Christ-like behavior to steal someone's home.
Very Christ-like. He was known for that and walking on water. It's like the two things. So I don't know if that was a part of the plan God revealed to them in Al Capone's pizza place in Hollywood Beach, Florida. It might have been. I don't know. I wasn't there. Anyway, the couple plans their wedding. Then they arrange catering. They hire the live jazz band, I imagine, or whatever. Then lastly, they invite all of their friends and family to join them at the Finkel Mansion or, say, the Wilson Estate.
Yeah, the Wilson Estate.
For their big day. Now, smash cut to the morning of the ceremony. The groom and his bride arrive at the Finkel Mansion. I guess they planned to prepare the site for their wedding, but they were surprised to find that the house, although listed for sale, was not unoccupied. Not like the groom had hoped. Instead, someone was home, and that someone was the homeowner.
Oh, no.
Most importantly, he had not heard anything from God about this wedding. So let's go there now, Elizabeth.
Oh.
Elizabeth, I'd like you to close your eyes.
Gladly. My eyes are closed.
Picture it. It's a lovely April day in Florida. There's a slight onshore breeze that's blowing the fragrance of flowers through the air. There's that soft throb of insects in the distance. Occasionally, a seabird takes wing and flies up into the sky, which at the moment is a light blue. But since it's Florida, the skies and the weather could change at any moment, so don't get too attached to it. But right now, it's an idyllic April morning. You are in the town of Southwest Ranches. This Miami suburb is located north and east of the sprawling city. It's up there on the eastern edge of the Everglades where the land once again turns sandy and dry. It's called Southwest Ranches to honor the many horse ranches in the area. There are countless equestrian trails that run throughout the suburban, semi-rural yet upscale development. It's a relatively new town, by the way. It was incorporated in 2000, if you were wondering.
Oh.
That's when the people elected their first town council led by Mayor Fink. That's Mayor Mecca Fink, along with Vice Mayor Dollar. That's Johnny Dollar, like the old radio show.
Right.
The other council members are Astor Knight, Forrest Blanton, and Freddie Fisichelli.
That sounds all made up.
These names, right? They sound like it was founded, but it was written like for a mystery novel
yeah,
that's
totally,
set in Florida.
Totally.
Anyway, the Southwest Ranches is a Florida development, if ever there were one. And also, for such a small area and a rural place, the town boasts a very super interesting list of notable people on its Wikipedia page. For instance, there are a number of former and current NFL stars who live there, like your man Tyreek Hill of the Miami Dolphins.
Okay.
Also former Indianapolis Colts great Reggie Wayne.
Sure.
And former Minnesota Viking quarterback Dante Culpepper.
Mm.
But also The Rock Dwayne Johnson. And perhaps most notably, the former television psychic Miss Cleo.
Wait, so The Rock and Miss Cleo also, whoa.
All of these people have called Southwest Ranches home at one time or another, and at the moment, so do you, because you are a bright white bird, the Western Cattle Egret. You are a type of heron. You're a white-feathered, but you also have brilliant yellow feathers for your plumage. You stalk the fields and streams of Florida, picking off insects between the hooves of the cattle as they graze, or you hop up on their backs and nab ticks from their hides. You migrated to Southwest Ranches from your old home in the Dry Tortugas off the coast of Florida. The cattle here are good for a steady diet of bugs and grubs. Anyway, you're presently standing on the back of a cow as the gentle beast grazes at the fence line, standing there just across the street from the gate to the Finkel Mansion. You are not picking ticks at the moment, though, because you have a show. A car pulls up and a man in a rented tuxedo and a woman in a wedding dress get out. The man tells his bride to wait at the gate. She sits on the hood of the car while he attempts to pry open the tall gates that stand guard at the driveway of the Finkel Mansion. You're like, what is going on here? The Finkel Mansion is one of the most impressive spreads in the area. The place has great bugs. And today it also offers up a great show. You watch as the groom tries to figure out a way to pry open the gates. You have serious doubts he can do this. And so does the bride, it seems. Anyway, you spy a golf cart approaching from the main house. Oh man, it's about to get good. The tuxedo groom is still attempting to open the gate. He's got a screwdriver and he's shoved it between the two tall iron doors of the gate and he's trying to force the lock open by hand. The wannabe groom pauses when he and the bride both spot the golf cart bearing down on them from the other side of the gate. You spread your wings and take a quick few flaps. You know, just to get a better view and to be able to hear everything because it's about to get so good, you land on the fence that runs alongside the gate. The golf cart pulls to a squealing stop. A late middle-aged man hops out. He's dressed in white slacks, a golf shirt, and a sweater. He looks like a character from like a 1960s sitcom about the wealthy. The tuxedoed groom greets him. Good afternoon, sir. Just what do you think you're doing? The man replies. His words, they come hot and fast. Getting married today. It's a blessed day, the man answers. What about you? I own this place. This is my home. What do you mean today? If it's today, what are you two doing out here? Shouldn't you be in a church? The homeowner shouts back through the gate. Well, you see, we're getting married here, the wannabe groom helpfully explains. The homeowner, he may be dressed soft, but he talks tough. Where here? Here, here? No, no, no. You two are not getting married here. This is a private residence. You are loving this. This is like a Fellini film set in Florida. The groom responds. His voice is calm, almost too calm. No, you see, we are getting married here today. We didn't think you were home. Would have been much easier if you weren't here. But if you'd like, we'd love to have you join our wedding. The golf lover, he looks at the bride on the hood of the car. Is he high? What's he talking about? If you could laugh, you would. But instead, you just sort of like bird chuckle to yourself. And the homeowner says, you and people need to leave. And the groom, he ain't hearing it. He just says, no, you see, you don't understand. It was God's message that we be married here. God spoke unto me, and he said, I don't give a tinker's damn what God said. I'm calling 911. The homeowner shouts back, and with that, he whips out his phone, and indeed, phones 911. Operator answers. Homeowner tells the emergency operator, yeah, hello? I have people trespassing on my property. They keep harassing me. They're saying they're having a wedding here, and it's God's message, and I don't know what's going on. All I want is it to stop, and they're sitting at my property right here at the front gate. Yes, right now. Please send police. You flap your wings again, lift up, and then gently land on the other side of the gate. You gaze down at the wannabe groom. You look over at the bride. You look back at the groom. He should be embarrassed or annoyed, something. Instead, he's just smiling. He looks back. You'll see. It's God's plan that we're going to be married here. You'll see. Don't you worry, baby. We're getting married here. Now, soon enough, patrol car arrives. Two officers step out and have to tell the wannabe groom and his wannabe bride that there will indeed be no wedding at the Finkel Mansion.
Oh, man.
Since no actual trespassing occurred, Elizabeth. Yeah. No fraudulent wedding occurred. No charges were filed against the wannabe groom or his bride. Uh-huh. Now, if you're wondering what the groom had to say after God fell through for him and the wedding planning, the Miami Sun Sentinel caught up to the disappointed groom, and a reporter asked him for comment. He said, and I quote, "I don't want to talk about it." Now, the Miami Sun Sentinel, they also followed up on the couple's nuptial plans. According to the Broward County Public Records, there was a marriage license issued to the couple for that wedding weekend. But the following weekend, there was no registration of a marriage. So, speed bump.
And
anyway.
It sounds like she didn't know that they couldn't have.
I think she knew.
That's a little folie à deux.
Maybe they were waiting a new venue from their divine wedding planner. I don't know what's going down. But anyway, let's take a little break.
Yes.
And I'll be back with another wedding tale. This one will melt your mind, I swear to God, because this time it's the bride who gets stolen.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpert.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends. People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Elizabeth.
Zarin.
We're back.
Hi.
I almost didn't tell you this one.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, is this story too insane, crazy, driving Miss Daisy for even Elizabeth?
Really?
Oh, yeah. And then I thought, well, what would Elizabeth say? And I was like, oh, she would say, who knows? Who cares? And I was like, oh, I'm doing it. So buckle up, Buttercup.
Yes.
It's about to get all kinds of weird. All right. Here's the headline. I'll just tell you the headline. I was stolen, so my real dad and my abductor walked me down the aisle.
I'm breaking it down right now. Give me a second. Yeah, okay.
Doing the math on that one, huh?
Yeah.
That's yikes. One too many dads walking down the aisle.
I'm stuck on, I was stolen.
Yes.
That's what we call it?
Yes. And the abductor being invited to the wedding. Anyway, okay. So the story goes, this bride wanted the husband of the woman who abducted her as a baby to be able to walk her down the aisle because he'd raised her and he was a good father.
Husband of the woman who abducted, okay.
Yeah, he raised her. As he basically was her father, as far as she knew, for all.
And he didn't. Did he know she was abducted?
I couldn't tell from the news stories. I would find it hard to believe he didn't know. Like, yeah. How is it that your wife is not pregnant and suddenly she comes home with a baby?
Maybe it was his stepdaughter. Maybe he thought that.
Maybe
like,
he was working on an oil derrick and he came home 9 months later.
Were they married when she abducted the kid?
Because
I'm thinking, like, what if she abducted him and then the year later is like.
Good point.
Meets and marries him, and he has no clue.
Well, I'll tell you this much.
Okay.
The daughter wanted him there, so we're just going off that.
Okay.
Anyway, this isn't old news. This is from 2023.
Oh.
Yeah, and this happened in South Africa. The bride's name is Mieke Zephanie Sheldon. I love that name, Zephanie, the middle
Zephanie,
name.
Yeah.
Zephanie. Anyway, she's 26 at the time, and from Cape Town. She selected an autumn wedding for herself. They were to be married on March 21st.
Autumn
in the summer
there,
hemisphere, yes, okay. She'd been involved in a long-term relationship before. She had two kids, a girl and a boy, but the couple split up. Then some time passed. She meets this guy named Justin. He's a teacher. The two met at church. They hit it off. He's kind. He's loving. He's like no one she's known before. He's phenomenal. They date for 2 years. They decide to get married. Now, he knew that there'd be issues before the wedding, but he'd always been very supportive, and he knew her story. She'd shared with him about her abduction as a newborn, so mm-hmm. he knew the whole deal. Anyway, about that, about the abduction.
What's the story here?
Sheldon was born April 27, 1997. 3 days later, she was stolen from her hospital crib.
Oh, my God.
Speared away from the maternity ward, right? The woman who stole her was named Lavona Solomon. She was unable to get pregnant. She ate away at her until one day she was willing to do something desperate and cruel to make her dreams of motherhood come true, right?
Yeah,
so she goes in, she sneaks, and dressed as a nurse, she steals another woman's child, another mother's child.
Good God.
And actually, just a mother's child, and raises this as her own, right? Along with her husband, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the daughter never knew, never suspected that she was not their biological child. All she ever knew was a loving home.
Sure, just
then,
3 days old.
Everything changes when she's in high school, right? The year is 2015. New student transfers to her high school. Exciting, fun girl. Her name's Cassidy. The two girls kind of look similar. I mean, like real similar. People start making comments about it. Eventually, people like staff, like there's a social worker at school is like, I think you two may be related. And they're like, what are you talking about? Like, you could be sisters, right? And they're like, okay. Eventually, the social worker is like, I can get you a DNA test, right?
That's a big chump.
We can run some DNA tests and see if you two are related. They do, right? And the girl's like, yeah, sure, let's do it. They take the test. It comes back conclusive. They aren't just related. They're not cousins. They are sisters, full biological sisters, same parents.
Whoa.
How could that be, right?
Well,
that's what they're wondering, right?
Yeah.
This is the beginning of the end of the big lie of her life,
sure,
right? So,
sure.
And also it's the beginning of the Sheldon's new family. So these are the two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
You can see how they would recognize each other instantly.
Yeah.
Okay. So after that, later that same year, February 2015, Sheldon met Cassidy's mom and dad, her mom and dad.
Yeah.
And it did not go well.
Oh, no.
Sheldon said, quote, it was extremely difficult because you've grown up thinking this is your family. And when she says this, she means her other parents.
Okay.
Michael. Yeah. So the abductors, Lavona and Michael. So she, though, still felt that they were her parents. Like, in her heart of hearts, those are her parents. She's got these other people who are now in her life, and she's like, this is weird. So she, as she says, and I'll put in her words, quote, meeting my biological parents, there wasn't that connection. I was looking for it, but it just wasn't there in the beginning. I'd been raised by Lavona and Michael my whole life, right? So time is supposed to heal all wounds, but sometimes it may take more time than a human lifetime will hold, right?
Yeah.
So Sheldon's birth parents could not forgive nor forget what Sheldon's other parents had done all those years ago when they stole their child from the hospital.
And those years of not knowing what happened.
And as Sheldon blithely put it, both families were just so harsh with each other. No. She's trapped in the middle.
Yeah,
so,
she is. But
anyway, she wants to get married and she wants both of her families there. That made things super awkward, right? And I should point out, Lavona, the mother abductor, she was not invited to the wedding. Sheldon cut her out of her life and after she learned the truth.
Was she doing time?
She was arrested, tried, convicted, and was on a 10-year sentence.
Okay,
so she couldn't go to the wedding, even if she was invited.
Good.
Anyway, the father, Michael, he was free, and she wanted him at the wedding. So as Sheldon put it, quote, I really had to adjust to having two different dads in my life, but I knew I'd want them both walking me down the aisle whenever I got married. Now, I'm sorry. I do not know how you do that. Like, no. I mean, I'm just not that forgiving. Like,
no.
I'm not speaking as her. I've never been married. I'm talking as the father, right? You steal my child, you are not invited to their wedding.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a ground rule.
Exactly.
Like, there's no way I walk down the aisle with the man who stole my child and be like, yeah, this is cool. This is
cool.
Yeah,
we're all pals.
Yeah, I mean, look at us, modern family.
Uh-uh. No, big no.
So her biological dad, he looked at things similarly to how I look at him, and he was like, hell no, right? She told him, he's like, but daddy, I really want you to be there. And he's like, or, you know, whatever she called him. He's like, no, I am not into this, right? As Sheldon put it, quote, my biological dad wasn't too happy at first, but this day was all about me and my relationship with my husband, and eventually he said yes for me. It was a miracle, right? So the dude, he sucks it up, right? Can you could you do that?
No.
There's no way I could, right? So anyway, so that's what they all did. They all swallowed down this poison of the past. The bride can't be happier about how it's all playing out, right? Sheldon says, quote, it was such a beautiful day. I'm so glad my real dad opened his heart to walk alongside the husband of my abductor down the aisle, right? Now, if you can believe that this saint walking among us, she doesn't even have hate in her heart for the woman who stole her from the hospital. Sheldon said, and I quote, I don't see the mom who raised me as criminal and evil. Everyone just got hurt in the process. We all just need to heal.
She's glossing. She's not a saint. She's not processing this properly.
I don't know, dude. I thought that reading it, but I also think that she's just a better human being than I am because I don't even approximate this level of forgiveness.
She seems
to be legitimately processing it. I'm wrong. I don't know. Anyway.
This whole, like, I think we just kind of got hurt. Like, you were abducted.
Yes.
Like.
But she also came from a loving home, so she doesn't feel that she was denied something, I guess.
Yeah, but if you know that, I mean, it's a betrayal.
Oh, totally. It would take me 5, 6, 7 lifetimes of reincarnation to get close to being able to be this forgiving, right? I am nowhere near it. I don't know. Anyway, Mieke, Zephany, Sheldon, I will say you are an inspiration for me. Elizabeth questions you, but whatever. We have different opinions.
If I'm the birth mother, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm just like outside their house.
I didn't find
launcher.
Her in the story. She was not mentioned so much.
Oh, interesting.
So I don't know what.
Maybe she has to do time now, too.
Exactly.
That's where I would be.
Yeah, so with Sheldon, she inspired her two families to mend bridges and try to forgive, right? That has not happened yet, but she's reported, quote, that the relationship between my two families is improving. They do get along now. We've all matured, realized we're human, and are finally coming to terms with what happened. We show mutual respect to one another, and we're all very understanding.
Oh, my God.
Could you?
No.
Imagine?
No, I don't even know. I'm not sure, like, how I would process it, honestly, because then you do start to think about how she had a
from
mother
her
and a
standpoint,
father that
no.
loved her in her view.
Her standpoint, I get. Everyone else's. If I was not the one who is my wedding, and I'm just seething in my own emotions, I would not have been able to rapidly heal to be able to be present for her wedding.
Right.
I don't know if I could do that.
Exactly.
That really just blows me away.
Yeah.
So what's our ridiculous takeaway here?
Ay, ay, ay. Weddings, man, it's a trip. they bring out the worst in a lot of people.
They really do. They bring up a lot of. I think that's like they ratchet up the tension on people, and then it causes some things to just spring out.
Well, I think it's like twofold. You have like the wedding industrial complex.
Yes, you have
it's
that.
Just like everything is like a money grab, and then also it kind of there's this pressure societally that I see that people think that they have to do certain things for the ceremony and for the reception and for just the trappings of it and how you do everything.
A certain capitalist judgment.
Well, yeah. And so it's, you have to have it like at a country club. Mm-hmm. You're not country club people. Like you're not, you know, you wouldn't normally do this kind of thing. So that's, you know, it's a lot of pressure and it makes people do stupid stuff. But then you also have like the whole, it's my special day.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your special day.
The bridezilla and groomzilla
thing. It's two families coming together. It's not your special day. Get out of here.
Aren't you a romantic?
You want to be a princess. This isn't Halloween.
What do you view a wedding as in terms of it's not your special day? What is it?
I think it's a celebration of the couple and it's two families coming together. Mm. Like now it's an even, you know.
Yeah, I always think of it's about the people who are there at the wedding more so than the bride and the groom. Because they already know.
It's kind of like a gang initiation.
Exactly. Yeah. You're getting jumped into like whatever that is on the other side.
You're making a new family. Zarin, what's your ridiculous takeaway?
That's it right there. You're gang initiation. I like that. You're getting jumped in. I'm taking that one away. I'm going to start telling people that. It's like, yo, man, I got to go to this gang initiation. What do you mean? It's a June gang initiation? I'm trying to pick out a suit. They're like, what are you talking about?
It's semi-formal.
Yeah, it's like a friend. He made me go. We've known each other forever.
There's a registry. They're like,
what are you talking about? Yeah, man, I'm getting jumped in. Well, he's getting jumped in, but I'm in the jumping
but
party.
Just watch it. We're the circle of people standing around watching it.
I'll be in the jumping party. I'm his best jumper. Anyway, that's my ridiculous takeaway.
Beautiful.
Elizabeth, you want to hear a talkback?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, producer Dave, hit it.
Talkbacks. Oh, my God. Did he just say that?
OMG.
Hey, guys. I just finished listening to your DeLorean episode, and I just want to give a special thank you to Zarin, especially. Your Margaret Thatcher imitation made me giggle out loud like an idiot at the gym, and I had an entire gym full of people looking at me. I had to finish my workout and awkwardly slink away, but it was worth it. So thank you.
All right. I always enjoy it.
Yeah, me too.
Most of the time. Anyway, you can always find us online, Ridiculous Crime, Twitter, Instagram. We have a website, ridiculouscrime.com. We also like talkbacks like that one, so hit us up. Email us if you like, ridiculouscrime@gmail.com. And as always, thanks for listening. I'll catch you next time. Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett. Produced and edited by the Right Honorable Reverend Dave Kustin. Research is by Marissa Bridezilla Brown and Andrea Love After Lockup, Song Sharpened Tear. Our theme song is by head usher at the royal wedding, Thomas Lee, and wedding caterer to the stars, Travis Dutton. The host wardrobe provided by Body 500. The executive producers are Ben Not Another Punch Bolin and Noel. Can a bride wear a wedding dress that's brown?
Ridiculous Crime.
Say it one more time.
Ridiculous Crime.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie.
Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.